and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 514. I'm Adam, and I haven't got a quote because I'm blimmin' busy. Let's see if Ben Shoveler's got one.
I haven't even bloody watched it,
Yay!
Mate. Oh, we're a sad lot.
Mary, I've only had 3 weeks.
Mary Lang.
We're still collecting charges. He's been a very naughty boy.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hoist the colours, Mr. Mate.
And to
have we turned into the Monty Python podcast? Because those two quotes were very good.
Right, so there is a bit of an issue I have with... I have watched The Infinite Quest. The trouble is, I've got the only copy I've got is on DVD. And for some reason, I had a choice here. Either have a live video feed like we normally do on a Sunday and just talk about it from memory, or watch the DVD and talk about it that way and not have the live video feed. So sadly, I can't play the DVD because it uses the same USB socket and I'm rather stuck. So we'll have to try and talk about it.
What page number of the Book of Excuses is that?
I don't know.
But can I say that, Adam?
Yes?
If that is the case and you're doing it from memory, if Kirby butts in with something, listen to him, because he's normally right.
Mm. Well, I do have it
running on...
Ooh, you better go to the toilet,
My computer from the DVD right now with subtitles.
How wonderful.
Why doesn't Kirby do it this week, then?
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yes. Have I missed anybody, by the way, in regards to people that are actually going to be on the show this week? I know Debbie said she couldn't be. Was anybody else likely to turn up?
Robert said he couldn't either.
Yes,
so.
Something came from Robert. We'll talk about that later. Now, I wasn't planning to be dwelling on the synopsis of this story particularly long, because it's only a little fun filler cartoon thingy. So I'm not really planning on an in-depth location. He said this, I did this, and what have you. Kirby.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very, very short...
Well, considering it's now 7:45, yeah. So, I'll just briefly as possible with Kirby on the show, talk about what happened in the episode. So, it's very sort of light-hearted, which is quite nice, especially when you see what's coming up in this series of Doctor, with Martha and the Doctor just sort of having little adventures around the universe, and they meet this sort of panto villain bloke. Is it Balthazar or something like that? Isn't it?
Balthazar. Anthony Head.
Yeah, I know. You can tell. God. He's got a very recognisable voice.
I was watching last night with Fred, and she was. I told her, "Do you recognize his voice?"
Mm.
She said, "No, it's sort of familiar."
Well, coming through on the feed, Lillian Robin says, "You're late again." I've chosen to ignore such comments because she's only saying it to wind me up. So
she's only saying it because we paid her. So,
I think Balthazar, has essentially defeated him at the beginning of the story. It's a very piratey sort of story, isn't it? Sort of, like a space piratey sort of... set up, because they've got
very happy
robot birds and what have you, and I can't really remember much about the storyline actually, Kirby, so over to you,
Adam. They're called females, you're not allowed to call them birds anymore.
Oh, you're unlucky there, Ben. I missed the bell button, so you missed out on a bell there. Sorry,
you missed your bell.
Yeah, right, I did it that time. That was for me.
Oh, that was a good clunker.
Go on, Kirby, this is your I'm gonna give you 10 minutes.
What do you want me to do?
Okay, I'm going to give you a challenge. Briefly run through the synopsis of the story, because it's quite simple, isn't it? It's not. It's just a lot of... There's some very fun dialogue
it's
in it.
It's very much like that first Doctor story that I hate so much.
Well, The Chase.
Where they go from planet to planet.
Well, that's either Keys of Marinus or The Chase.
Yes, Keys of Marinus, yes. So, right. The Doctor manages to eject Balthazar from his spaceship with rust, and why the TARDIS isn't affected, I have no idea. And why the bird isn't affected, I have no idea.
Well, we shouldn't call her a bird, Kirby, because that's not very PC. Her name's Martha.
Why Caw?
He's talking about Caw.
Oh, right, so yes. I knew he was, so, I was just winding him up.
So, and Caw gets released, and Balthazar goes with him. And
Kirby...
I was
Kirby, Kirby, no, I just want to see see what it was like. Yes.
Oh, Master, you're so funny.
I just wanted to see what it's like. I don't get any better at it.
One thing that I like is that the opening titles are exactly the same, except with a animated TARDIS.
Yeah, that's all right.
When I first saw this, however long ago we last talked about it, I remember being confused between the before credit title sequence and after title sequence. I thought no time had gone by, and actually it's been quite a while. So obviously Martha has been in many adventures that we don't know about.
Well, Rose had been in many adventures as well, hadn't she, when she was with the Ninth Doctor?
Yes. Yeah, because by the way, Bill Oddie Heaven, what does that mean?
Bill Oddie Heaven?
Yes. Martha says, I'm in Bill Oddie Heaven.
Oh, because Bill Oddie's a big bird sort of, or okay. What they call bird people, well, ornithologists.
I have no idea who Do Bill Oddie was.
Well, there's this amazingly good 1970s comedy combo sprung off from the Monty Python team, all the same university type, but called the Goodies, encompassed Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden, and Bill Oddie. It's the Goodies. You have to look it up. It's almost as good as what's the 70s version of the Goons. You may not have heard of them. They were a 1960s sort of radio.
Is it on BritBox?
What, the Goodies?
No, it's not.
Because I have 6 more days and my BritBox goes bye-bye.
You must have seen that iconic scene of the kitten climbing up post office tower as it fell over. That's the Goodies.
Yes.
It's iconic, that, isn't it? Isn't it, Ben?
So, anyway, the call gives Martha a very obvious tracking device. And you know the call is not really on the Doctor's side. Basically they set up this whole business for following these tracker things, very much like that first Doctor story that I keep forgetting the name of. And they end up on a oil planet. Yeah.
Yes, an oil planet.
Okay. Now, it would have been really cool. And then we have another pirate. So we start with Balthazar the pirate and we end up with another pirate.
Yes.
It would have been nice to know more about those oil rigs. I really like those oil rigs.
They're quite cool, weren't they?
And then we have, obviously, a foreshadowing the skeleton.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. The Vasta Narada.
Who turned the lights out?
The Vasta Narada. I've just said that twice.
Yes, yes. With the spacesuit with the light inside, and they don't have eyes. What do they even need to see out for?
Lillian Robbins says, "You can be wound up." I think she's been sarcastic there. Yes, I admire sarcasm when it's used in the correct context.
So anyway, we have a couple episodes. You know, this was in 5-minute segments when it was originally. I wish that they had provided a way of seeing it in the 5-minute segments, because it might have been more interesting.
Yeah, I preferred it in the full version. I thought it was a bit stoppy starty when I watched it in the 5-minute.
Saw it that way? I think you're the only person I know of who saw it that way.
No, I've seen it that way. I can't remember how it was presented, but I do remember watching it in that original format.
It was on some show that was a companion show. For kids while Doctor Who was on.
Okay. So I'm just getting this. Carry on, Kobe, because I'm just watching a bit of
Strictly. Yeah. Okay, so standard pirate stuff, walk the plank, et cetera, et cetera. Yep.
Like Pirate Planet.
Yes. And the Sonic fails because it's got sand in the mechanism. It finally succeeds, and the pirate lady tries to escape, and she dies.
She was really good, actually. Great voice actor.
Yeah, she was good. Yeah. I like Hey, K-9?
Mistress?
I just looked it up. I pulled a U, and I looked it up, and the Goodies is not available to rent, view, or buy anywhere in the United States right
That's
now.
That's appalling, Mary.
But yeah, I'll bet it's on
It is
YouTube.
Available on Goodbox in Australia, but that's about it.
Oh, I could get a VPN and go to Australia. I'm always afraid to do that. Kirstie's told me that to do that sort of thing, to use a VPN to change.
Oh, I do all the time.
Mary.
And I'm afraid that the Netflix or whoever is going to go, how'd you get there so fast?
Mary.
We're going to cancel you.
Mary.
No, actually, Netflix just asks for your account. It just verifies that you have a Netflix account here.
Yes.
And you can watch anything you want. Yes,
but we're not going to make that, otherwise Netflix will get cross with us, but that is the case. Because Alicia watches Netflix at her house on our account, and we watch Disney Plus at our house on her account.
You don't have an account.
Don't tell anyone. I forgot what I was going to say now. Mary. Oh, can I hang on? Let me ask Mary a question. You said about asking it and watching it in America. Can you watch on that daily facility?
Oh, you know, the goodies.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh.
It's probably.
I looked it up. It just said it wasn't available for rent or free or anything in the U.S. You can only access it on BritBox in Australia.
Okay. Carry on, Kirby.
It might also be on YouTube, but I'm not going to look yet.
Yeah, I don't know if they're aware of the the usual one that we look at.
So, second part of the quest is they end up on a planet with bugs and an iguana, an intelligent iguana, which was interesting because I watched I have replaced BritBox with Disney Plus because I know I'm going to watch more
Disney Plus, Kirby.
Huh?
There's so much more on Disney Plus. If you had a choice, if I had a choice, it would be Disney Plus. But I do like BritBox.
So, the whole iguana reminded me of a character from a Toy Story short that Fred and I had watched just the day before. They looked pretty much identical, except this one talks. They negotiate with some human who happens to get in there and manages to form peace with the mantis fids or whatever they're called.
Yes.
And the iguana's got the next clue, and he goes wandering off because the mantis fid doesn't want to pay him, and he dies, and the doctor gets that one. Oh, I did like the little reference, kills all bugs dead.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Because I know that, I saw that apparently that's a advertising phrase for something in the UK, which
Domestos.
Is different.
Domestos kills all germs dead. It used to be from the advert, kills all germs dead. Yeah.
Yeah, here it's an insecticide called Raid.
Ah.
Kills all bugs. Kills all bugs dead.
Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
So,
fleshy
bipeds, fleshy bipeds, fleshy bipeds.
Yeah, I like that. It's a bit like the Sontaran reference to human scum or puny human scum or something like that. What they used to say. Is it right? No. Carry on.
Going forward, they end up on the prison planet, which wasn't there an icy prison planet in a Star Trek movie?
It might have been. Science fiction, isn't it? It's probably what an icy prison planet in Star Wars as well, somewhere along the line.
An icy planet in Star Wars.
Yes.
So they throw the doctor in a cell with an android and make all sorts of jokes about all the crimes that he's committed with the governor of the prison. I had to explain to Fred that a governor of a prison is the warden of the prison.
Yes.
And
not the superintendent.
Okay. Anyway, then it turns out that he's a former prisoner, not the governor, and the governor's in with the doctor, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Usual, very simplistic plot twist there.
Yeah.
Sounds
like you're a bit bored of this story, just, Kirby.
Be nine.
It's just
I just went to my TV and looked at our usual channel, and it is there. There are some episodes there.
Oh, good. Okay. Ooh, hello. Got to be worth a watch, hasn't it, Ben?
What's that?
Or are you a little bit too young for the goodies?
Oh, the goodies? Oh, no, they're cracking.
Yeah.
Yeah. The resolution.
Taylor.
Yep. The resolution is pretty bad, but, you know, they're there.
Yeah, great comedy. Great stuff.
When we're done, I will seek them out.
Seek them out.
Goodies. Goody, yum, yum.
Great stuff. Bill Loddy, by the way, is the hairy one with the beard. Yeah, all right, that'll do. They also did a record called The Funky
Gibbon.
Okay, so,
blah, 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 blah. The Balthazar shows up. Did you notice that he also... is Balthazar has these two little green things.
Yeah, it's a bit like the fish people in that episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like the doctor's daughter.
Martha, yeah, doctor's daughter, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, what are those things called? I'm trying to remember.
In this that shows up later in Doctor Who.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that they were watching this and decided, hey, we'll just follow these things.
Yeah.
Pork Haw decides to die. And,
but he doesn't actually, though, does he? Doesn't actually die. Because Martha has a pendant, doesn't she? Which is a little...
Martha has Squawk, his son.
Yeah, Squawk, his son. Yeah.
Son.
Son. Martha.
I'm your father.
And let's see. Oh, we end up following the last one. Oh, the Balthazar decides to hijack the TARDIS, drops the Doctor off on the planet, where the Doctor manages to stay for 3 years, training Squawk to bring Balthazar back eventually.
Oh,
they end up on the Infinite, and they find the Mirror of Erised. I mean... that's what every time they said is your heart's desire. Your heart's desire. Yeah. That's the Mirror of Era said. Yeah. and Martha, the one thing about this I did not like was that Martha's heart's desire is the Doctor.
Well,
yeah, no,
that was quite clear all the way through, to be fair. But carry on until she meets Lucifer towards the end of the series. But we haven't come to that bit yet.
Yes. I can't wait for that. I'm going to have to force my wife to watch that one because she's a gigantic Lucifer fan. So.
What, the TV David Tennant thing?
No, Lucifer.
Lucifer.
You're thinking of Angels and Demons, aren't you, whatever it's called?
Oh, that was what I was thinking of. And that is, what's his name who plays Lucifer? Anyway, they're making the second series of that.
They are, and they're filming it now. That's why Michael Sheen couldn't be at Wales Comic Con. Carry on.
So.
I should listen to what you lot are saying.
You should do, yeah, it would help, but there you go.
I'm watching
the doctor, don't change the habit of a lifetime.
No,
the Doctor
I won't.
Flies in on Squawk. Balthazar discovers that his heart's desire from the Mirror of Erised is a vision of gold forever. And the Doctor sends Squawk back to the prison planet with Balthazar. After breaking up the Mirror of Erised. The end.
Thank you, Kirby. Well done.
Well done, Kirby.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And I must say, I've got a slight of a strange announcement to make before we move on to what we thought of this particular story. Now you got there's some good news and there's some bad news. Which one would you like first?
You're coming out as non-gender specific and you're changing your name to Poppet.
It's odd, but near. Actually, not too far off it. No. I am leaving the podcast. That's the... Well, some people might think good news. Some people might think bad news. But I have decided that I will leave the podcast at some point. That point being, and I was going to be the end of this year... But then I thought, hang on, we've got the centenary stuff coming next year, and then we've got the actual 60th anniversary of the year afterwards. So I've decided to leave the show at the end of 2023. And then I'll retire from podcasting forthwith at that point. So you've got a bit of time to get used to it.
Now.
Yes. I'm committing myself to...
There's not a moment to spare.
That was pretty much the plan.
Just 2 years.
But don't tell anyone.
You.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
I thought that was pretty much the plan to begin with anyway.
You were trying to put into a plan in me to do lots of big finish stuff after we'd finished the journey, but no, if we finish the journey before the 60th, we'll do a few bits and bobs here and there up to then, and a few more little episodes until the end of 2023, and then I'm putting my feet up and watching Doctor Who as a casual fan.
Well, you know what we could do then?
No.
is we can put out specials.
What?
And anytime the new stories come along, we just do specials.
Now, that doesn't sound like leaving the show to me. But anyway, I'm moving on. I've not left the show. This is basically what Fred Dynage did when he said he was leaving Meridian tonight, but he said he's leaving the end of this year, and I'm just tagging a couple of years on to the end of it. Right then, let's move on.
Hold on. Before we move on, Adam.
Yes?
I'd like to make an announcement as well.
You're leaving the show in 2028, yeah?
No. That I'm planning a new Doctor Who podcast starting in about 2023 called the 19 megabyte Doctor
now,
Who podcast.
No, I would suggest calling it the 100 megabyte Doctor Who podcast because that's something a lot of the
I'm
going
to call it the gigabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That's good. Yeah, that's got a ring to it. Right then, this particular story was actually quite good fun, to be fair. It was very simple, and it was aimed at kids, so it wasn't going to be too complicated. But I love the dialogue. I love the voice acting of all the actors on it. I love the pantomime, in this instance, the pantomime sort of ness of it. There was little touches I like the tender thing, and I thought it was just quite good fun, really. I'm not too serious. A departure from the current story arc that we are currently viewing in regards to series 3. But yeah, not 3, 4, isn't it? What are we on? Series 2?
17.
3? I can't remember anyway. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It was okay, wasn't it? You didn't see it, Ben, so you haven't got a reference to it, have you?
Well, but what I'd like to say about it, though, is it sounds like it might be really interesting.
Yes, that's very good. Thank you, Ben. Kirby, what did you think?
But I'll never watch it.
Okay.
Well, seeing that it's been 9 years since I saw it, and when I put in the DVD this couple of days ago, I didn't remember it.
Oh, dear.
It was like I was going into it fresh, and then I went back and listened to us from 9 years ago.
Yes.
And I didn't like it 9 years ago, and I liked it better seeing it again.
How weird.
Which surprised me. Well, except this tends to happen a lot.
Is that like the passing of time made you forget how crap it was?
it's not crap. It's not okay. It's not horrible.
How average it might be.
I thought the animation was great. I've seen other Doctor Who animations.
I like animated stuff. It's not right.
Okay.
It's Cosgrove Hall again.
That's okay, but they've done crap stuff. This is
did he play
good.
For Everton? thank you, Adam. Thank you.
I liked it in its own weird, very simplistic way. Yeah, and Fred finished watching it this morning with me, and she really enjoyed it.
Good. That's what it's aimed at. There was another animated story.
Well, no, she's 28.
There's another animated Doctor Who story, isn't there, around this time?
There will be one coming up.
Shulka? The Scream of the
Shulka? No, not that one. No, there's another story that they ended up in the desert, and Georgia Tennant, who is then Georgia Moffat,
yes,
plays.
Dreamland. If we do it properly, yeah. Dreamland is between the Waters of Mars and the End of Time, Part 1.
Good,
yeah,
we'll do that then. So I quite enjoyed watching. I just have to make sure I can find it somewhere because it took me a week to find it, and then I realised it was in my DVD box, recorded off the telly.
Well, let's see. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 stories between now and where we
will do
that.
Thank you for that, Kev. We didn't really need that. Have you finished?
But hold on, is that 16 weeks closer to Adam leaving the podcast then?
Well, Lillian Robin says, she might be being sarcastic again, by the way. She went, no, keep the podcast forever. I think there's a bit of sarcasm. She's great.
That sounds sarcastic to me.
It does sound sarcastic.
Technically, yeah. As it's in the digital thingy, Bob, it will be there forever.
Huh? And the good thing about me leaving the show at some point, at least I can say, well, by the way, by the end of 2023, I'm not doing any more podcasts. So she's got something to look forward to as well. Anyway, have you done Kirby on your thoughts on the Infinite Quest?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it better than 9 years ago.
You did last time. So when we do it another time. Oh, darn, we're not, are we? Right then. So, wait, hang on. This is... Mary, what did you think?
Well, like Kirby, when I started watching it, it's like, have I watched this before? Because I didn't remember anything about it. So it for me, too, was like watching it for the first time. I have to say that I enjoyed it because it was. It moved quickly. It was simple. It was fun. And I think the animation was actually pretty good.
I agree.
These people who did this animation could have done some of the sorry animation we're getting now.
Yeah. Agreed.
And something else that struck me was when I look at the names, the author, Alan Barnes, the director, Gary Russell, these are iconic Big Finish names. These guys to this day are still doing Big Finish, and we're doing it then too.
Yeah.
And even the cast in it, you know, they've all done Big Finish stories. Only Freema Ajima had never done Big Finish. And they even recorded the voices in Big Finish's main Mowat Road studio in London. It was like old home week for everybody to be doing this. So only Freema had to kind of learn how to not wrinkle her pages when, you know, she's doing parts and all that.
But yeah, I understand that there's an extra on the DVD, but I didn't watch it about that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So it's really fun that way. And I think along with Big Finish has the reputation for kind of repairing and restoring the characters from the TV show, like the Sixth Doctor, who's wonderful in Big Finish. You love him, whereas the TV story, he's so irritating.
Yes.
So I think when Alan Barnes wrote this, He must have had some sympathy for Martha, because if you notice throughout this, she's the one coming up with all the good ideas.
Yeah, she does, actually.
Yeah. And the doctor keeps saying, oh, brilliant. You know, you're wonderful.
He's encouraging her. Yeah.
You know, so I think that in keeping with Big Finish's way of restoring people, I think they actually wrote this for Martha. And when I said that there were some things that we see later in later stories, think about the skeletons in the spacesuits for silence in the library.
Yeah,
Ashton Arada.
Having a spoon that doesn't really work very well. Think of Robot of Sherwood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Robots.
Yeah.
Robot of Sherwood, yeah.
I know. I call it Robots because it was the original title.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And the giant insect queen hatching an army, you know, didn't that come later?
Wasn't that the one where they're in the bus in the desert?
Well, no, I'm thinking of the Arachnos.
Oh, of course.
The Christmas one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christmas one where, you know, she has that whole
arm. We just did.
Yeah. So, I mean, so they
literally
did.
12 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was very recent, wasn't it?
Stories.
Yeah.
So anyway, I actually enjoyed watching it, and I find it surprising that I didn't remember it from before.
Maybe you never watched it.
Can I say something?
No.
Sure.
No.
Like I said, I went back and listened to us talk about it 9 years ago, and the same thing happened with you, Mary. It happened to me. You didn't like it.
Oh, really? Now you and I are completely on the other side of the fence.
Yes, exactly.
This is what happens when you do the journey and you watch them all in order. It does tend to have a different effect.
Yeah, being in order makes all the difference.
Yes.
Well, that was our semi-journey when
we did the 11th, the 10th Doctor story, sorry. Anyway, well, thank you very much. I just wanted to show the viewers, this is one of my favourite little... things that I got from Wales Comic Con, which I should talk about later. Yeah, this is a Sonic screwdriver. It isn't Sonic, by the way, but look how cool it is. That does. You can't do it with your finger. And the other thing that's really cool about it, it's made of metal. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I just got it because it was so beautifully made. And it's not a sort of like a Doctor Who specific copy. It's just an individual. Oh, we'll make something that looks like a sonic screwdriver.
It looks like what
so it makes you feel like if you're the Doctor, this is your sonic screwdriver. Because they do other ones that are obviously sonic screwdrivers that aren't in the series, but are based on. So that makes it feel like they're one of a doctor we haven't met yet, sonic screwdrivers. But it's so beautiful.
Did you hear me say that it looks like what a medical doctor uses to test someone's reflexes?
You could do that with it. It's that heavy. If that landed on your head, you'd know it. This is, I mean, bear in mind, I've got lots of plastic ones, imitations, but this is beautiful. It feels cold to the touch.
I will be awfully glad when we get rid of the spoon one.
Isn't it beautiful, everybody?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch it later to see what.
Anyway, right. So that's my sonic screwdriver, which isn't sonic. I've got one similar to it. It is sonic. This one here, which is made of plastic, and it does all that stuff, but not as beautiful. But anyway, that's my.
Yeah, you know what I want to get? My next sonic is going to be a fourth Doctor. It's got to be.
Okay. Right. So the next thing we're going to talk about is. I think we've done everyone. Yes, feedback. So, did you post a request?
Yes, of course I did, and we didn't get much.
Oh, before we talk about feedback,
is this actually canon?
What feedback?
No, this episode that we're wasting time on tonight.
it's supposed to be, isn't it? I don't know. We've done it anyway, so we don't have to do it again. But anyway, back
we
to
did
the
when I wasn't here, and that was much better.
Be quiet. Where did I get up to? Oh. Right, so you can try and, Kirby, quite try and digest a little bit of what you've got to read in a minute. But I just wanted to talk about the series of Doctor Who that's on at the moment, Flux. Because we can talk about episodes up to episode 5, and I'm not going to talk about them individually. But I have been a little bit worried about and considering going to seek some help from some sort of, some medical help. From a counsellor of some variety, because I've actually really enjoyed the series, and I don't think there's something wrong with me. I don't know. I might have to watch it again to make sure I haven't dreamt that I enjoyed it. So
you're talking about the current series, the Flux.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with me, Mary.
I think
I don't like
is.
Chris Chibnall, but I'm really quite enjoying this series, or enjoyed it now because it's finished. It's a bit sort of all over the place, but it's constantly on the go, so it's constantly engaging, and you're wondering who these characters are and how they connect to the Doctor, and how obviously the Doctor's going to get out of it. They've got some old villains in it, sort of doing cameos here, left, right, and everywhere, and it seems to work. And the Doctor does seem to be in great. Well, the universe seems to be in great jeopardy, and you wonder how that's going to be resolved. And I did enjoy the resolution, so I'm not going to tell you how that happened, but I did enjoy it. With it in the last episode. So I'm just a bit worried because I enjoyed it. And I think the family enjoyed it as well because they disengaged with the last series of Doctor Who after about 3 episodes and they didn't watch the rest of it. But although Isabella didn't watch the episodes while we were away, me and Deb watched the episodes on iPlayer while we were in Telford and in London, so we caught up with it, so we were up to date today. Isabella just came to watch the finale because they do a recap at the beginning and she didn't lose interest in it. So all in all, I have to congratulate the producers of Doctor Who for Flux. Very, very good. Anybody got any input on it? What they thought up to episode 5?
Obviously from what there's the first 5, it's 5, right?
Yes.
I enjoyed it way more than I expected to.
Well, infinitely more than I expected. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe he was trying to play it down for 2 series and then come up with this. I don't know.
And my is currently down. Number 6 is currently downloading. so I'll watch that as soon as we're done. But I've liked it, and particularly the Weeping Angels one.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That was just fantastic.
And I love the passenger form. That's a great concept. I really do. I think there's so many good concepts in there. Great characters, beautiful scenery, real proper interplanetary locations and making you sort of think about things. And it's just great. Really is. I'm just really hacked off because I've been slagging off Chibnall for all this time. I'm sure he'll go back to his normal self in the next 3 episodes, but, you know.
But yeah, I've enjoyed it very much.
What do you think, Mary?
I can't wait to see it.
I started enjoying it at the beginning, but now, I mean, you know, picture me with my eyebrows drawn together and my mouth hanging open, you know, while I'm staring at the screen. It's like I just have this big question mark. What? And I don't know. I feel like I've been assaulted almost, you know, with everything that's coming at me.
Very busy, isn't it? It's very busy.
I mean, I'm sure it's all going to hang together at some point. But right now, I just feel like he's just taken a big bowl of everything he can think of, thrown the contents at me, and we're going to see where it lands. I don't know. I'm up in the air.
Okay. Well, I do.
I've got to say, one of the things I did not like of what I've seen so far is throwing little bits of, oh, we just have to have an ood here. And
Yeah, I mean, it's like
the Weeping Angels in their own episode, that made sense.
But throwing all this other stuff in, I mean, just to keep the fans hooked, you know, it's like, oh, it's not
maybe,
doing it for
maybe.
Me.
Like, there is a there is a certain substance to what you say there, Mary. I agree. But I did enjoy it. It's a trouble.
12 seconds, 10 seconds, 9 what? Seconds, 8 seconds. That's my download.
Ben, did you see any of it?
Well,
not including episode 6, obviously.
No, I haven't seen episode 6 because I only finished about an hour ago and I was watching a very entertaining Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, which was much higher up the list. So I saw episodes 1 to 5. I liked 1. I think 2 was confusing. 3 was all right. I think I've liked the 2 episodes since we've last talked about it. I think, yeah, I did. I even at one point thought, oh, that Jodie Whittaker, I hope she stays for a long time.
No, I don't believe that in the slightest.
No, I didn't, of course, think that. I am enjoying John Bishop, although I have enjoyed it. I have to completely agree with Mary. It is just a whole let's throw everything about Doctor Who that everyone likes and hope that everyone likes it. Daleks, Cybermen, Ood, Sontaran, Weeping Angels.
Yeah, everything.
And then this next Doctor person who I see, that's the thing. That bit just confused me because I had no idea who she was, what was going on. I should have watched previous ones, but there's a reason, and I haven't.
There's only 2 previous episodes that you should have seen to set you up for this, and one of them was the the Jadoon one, the Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Yeah.
And then the Timeless Children. Those are the only 2 episodes you really needed to set you up for this.
Oh, well, I might go back and watch them if there's no football on and the world. No, I might be American.
Have you also noticed how the companions have been shunted aside all on their own to do some story off there on the side? It's like, why are they even in this if we have to, like, put them somewhere else out of the way? So that
they were in their own COVID bubble. But no, it was... yeah, I've enjoyed it so far, and I'm quite looking forward to watching the 6th and final episode. Well, I don't know, it depends what time we finish, or I watch it tomorrow. Is there any football tomorrow? No football tomorrow, so I can watch it tomorrow night. So, yeah, no, it's been more enjoyable than I expected, but I went in with very low expectations. So if it was worse than that, then they really were in trouble. But, yeah, too many... villains, too many baddies, just chucked all in a pot, stirred up, and let's just hope it works for them. And he can't carry on doing that. That's the point.
Yeah. This is going to exhaust the.
Absolutely, Mary.
There's nothing left. Yeah. The closet is empty.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. There's nothing in there now. What are they going to do for the next ones? Bring back someone? Who knows?
Thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you, Ben. Right then, so now we can move on to Kirby's feedback section.
Does that mean I have to stop watching the episode? I fast-forwarded close to the end. I'm that sort of person.
Just get on with it. You can't do that. Oh, no, I'm going to lose. Oh, I mean, all of your interruptions, your pedantry and all that, I can accept. But fast-forwarding it to the end so you can see how it gets there before you've seen how it gets there. Yeah, in a sci-fi TV science fiction TV program Doctor Who thing,
yeah.
It's just wrong, mate.
Makes
I can't accept
no
that.
Sense
can we strike
whatsoever.
Him from the record?
Yeah, he reads the end of a book before he starts from the beginning.
I've done that.
Whatever. Right, go on, that Kirby. Let's do your little feedback section.
Right, okay. So I asked for feedback, and I put a little video of me watching it streaming. And yes, there is a way of getting it streaming if you buy the animated DVD. Andy Nunny said, oh good, I have ironing to do when I get home. So presumably we've got some feedback from him. Robert Wince Jr., it was okay. I believe it was a thing for children's BBC.
It was.
Broken up into 5 to 15 minute parts over a number of weeks. Voice work was pretty good. Animation was okay. Very average story. It seems like the Doctor had everything planned out, 3 out of 5. And then he puts a little animated GIF of Tom or Jerry, whichever one that is, going sleep time.
Tom was the cat, Jerry was the mouse.
Fine. I never liked Tom and Jerry, even when I was a kid.
Clearly. Do you like Ant and Dec? Do you know who they are?
Okay, and I'm trying to expand the last comment, and it's spinning on me.
Well, the last one is Ian Kirk, so...
So it's just him saying it's his feedback thing?
Yeah.
Okay, then that's it for that stuff.
Wow, that was quite brief. That made me think that people weren't particularly interested in this particular...
Probably not.
Well, and this has been like a busy week too here in the States.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanksgiving and all that.
Well, I mean, I could have given them 2 weeks. Right then, on the live feed, we have Lillian saying, yes, I was being sarcastic. No. And then she says, you are the boss, and if you want to take time off, it's not time off, it's retirement. And then she said, you'll be back. No, I won't. And then she said, cool.
It's
she's
so
referring...
far off. Why have you even mentioned it now?
It's something for me to look
months.
Forward to, Ben.
Potentially 100 episodes away.
Yeah, I know.
You were now that kind of thing with 10 to go. Not 100.
Do you want me to count the number of episodes?
But
No. It's going to be 54, 100 and 104, plus however many we don't do, minus how many we don't do, because Adam's at a convention or taking photographs.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. Lillian then says, cool. She's talking about this wonderful sonic screwdriver. Lillian Robin then says, does it work on wood? Well, I'll tell you what, Lillian, if you bash this end against something wood, it leaves a really good dent. So I'd say it does work on wood. And then Ian Kirk said, I have just got back from having a meal out.
Well, that's interesting.
Thanks, Ian.
What did you have?
Yeah, what did you have?
Tell us about the menu.
It was fish fingers and custard. That's what it was. Right then. Moving on, I think somebody
just imagine if you went to a restaurant and they offered you fish fingers and custard, how long you'd stay sat down for.
Robert sent something in, I believe. Who wants to read out Robert's blurb? Everybody's putting their hands up.
I can if you want me to.
Yep, I want to hear you do your Robert impression. This should be good.
We haven't heard from Billy.
Okay. Robert does a lot of flux.
Beg your pardon?
Yes.
He's been in a hospital all this time. Well, I didn't know he had it in him.
Well, he didn't. It all came out, so he's putting it back in.
Okay, my feedback. First, flux. I'm getting a bit burnt out by flux. It's all over the place, which doesn't help. I think 3 was the most confusing episode, though. Which one was 3?
I don't know.
The confusing one.
Yeah. No, the angels was 4.
Okay. One just understands that time is disorganized, but bugger making sense of that episode. Token appearances by Daleks and Cybermen in other episodes. Yes, it does seem to be setting up the couple as being the Doctor's parents.
Are they? No.
And because the woman's experiencing all this flux of time, just as Amy did while Preggers with River. Being in the TARDIS, etc. Really sets it up to how the Doctor came into being. Of course, by the time this episode is out, we will know either way. Well, we hope we will. Do we?
I don't know. I can't remember.
And yet, I can look up the Wikipedia article.
Well, if you fast forward the story to the end, you probably know anyway.
And you interrupted me.
No, I did not.
During that.
Oh, sorry for spoiling your spoiler.
And yet again, they shoehorn crap for Jodie to say and do with the stupid faces, talking fast and humorous ? Quips. She's no good at that and doesn't suit her. Give her serious stuff to say and do and she does that well enough. Now on to Infinite Quest. Not really taken by this one. The 3D animation is quite nice, just as the Daleks are in Evil and Power of the Daleks animations. When you look at the oil rigs in particular, Martha's not too annoying, though they do have that horrible thing where it referenced how Martha's in love with the Doctor because that's who she wished into being. Pass me the vomit bag. And David Tennant is so damn annoying in it. Is he paid by the campiness in this? It's really a cute time. He's a Marinus. Ah, there we go. Type affair, this one. I gather it was originally in little chunks for each piece found. I've only ever seen it as the one full-length affair. I suppose the kids love it. Mm. I didn't really. Mm. Sorry, that seems I've taken a grumpy pill today. I think I like the other Tennant animation better. I think I'm far more critical on reflection. Flux has been frustrating as it's been up and down, and we've had that third episode which didn't do the show any favors with the general public who stuck around to watch it, let alone for fans to understand beyond the general gist of it.
Is the third episode the one with the Suntarans?
I thought that was the second one.
Thought that was the second one. I don't remember who the third one was.
The third one. Oh, the third one was when they find, like, that temple.
Oh, yeah.
That little floating thing that asks them, you know, are you repair? Do you repair?
Yeah.
Of the first five, that was my least favorite as well.
Yeah.
That was confusing.
Yes, anyway. Are we done on Robert?
That's it. Yeah, that was it.
Okay, thank you, Robert, for your feedback. I think it'd be fair to ask Mary to dictate Terry and Linda Miles' contribution.
Righty. Okay, it says, they write, I'm sure I've seen this story or something like it before, written by Robert Holmes / Doug Adams / David Fisher / Bob Baker.
Sounds like a mass murder with these slashes.
And known as The Key to Time. With the 13-part Infinite Quest, we have a cut-down version of the 6 stories of The Key to Time. Cut down, I hear you say. Well, at 3 minutes per episode for all 13, it's shorter than the 6-story run in 26 episodes at around 25 minutes each episode for The Key to Time. This story was broadcast in 12 parts of around 3.5 minutes each. The 13th and last part was held back and was incorporated into a re-edited omnibus version that included the first 12 parts. The total running time of this story was around that of one regular episode. This is an animated story written by Alan Barnes and directed by Gary Russell, featuring David Tennant and Freema Ajima. It was produced by the BBC using the show's actors and obviously set during the series 3's time frame. It has been said this should be in between 42 and Human Nature, but Infinite Quest is not thought of as a story of the third series. Tony Head and Liza Starbuck were great as Balthazar and Captain Calico.
Yes.
We enjoyed this fun romp, although the story could have been longer and had a better ending. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Thanks, Linda and Terry Miles.
Thank you, Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes.
Thank you. I said that much.
Right, this is going to be interesting to see how loud this recording is.
Well, good evening, 20 megabytes, Andy here. It's Yeah, it's about now. There you go, Ben. Sitting here with a glass of box fizz, having a bath, need to have a Sunday dinner, so you can probably roughly guess what time it is. I'm sure Kirby will be very relieved to hear that yesterday evening I was able to sit down with an ironing basket, an ironing board and iron, put the Infinite Quest on. And it was quite good. You know, I got 2 T-shirts done, 4 pairs of boxer shorts, 3 pairs of Zach's school trousers, 4 of his polo shirts, 3 of his jumpers, a pair of Dawn's trousers, 1 of Dawn's shirts, 2 king-size sheets, 1 of Zach's bed sheets, and the handkerchief. So I got all those done in the 40-odd minutes that the Infinite Quest was on. So, yeah, that was quite good. Unfortunately, the Infinite Quest wasn't very good, was it? Be seeing you.
That
was short.
Very short. Wow. That's rather surprised me. I was just about to make myself a cup of tea and everything.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I'm ready to sit back and doze a little bit here.
I thought we were going to break into song and start doing some sort of 12 Days of Christmas thing when he started listing out the impetus. I've been eyeing.
Anyway.
6 boxer shorts, 3 pairs of pants, 2 handkerchiefs.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is in Kirk. Hey, what's happening? Doctor Who is a CBeebies cartoon? Unbelievable. The Infinite Quest by Alan Barnes. Well, if it's on a kids' channel, then the viewers would not have been born when we last had a robot parrot in the Pirate Planet. A linked series of stories in different locations also harks right back to Hartnell and the Keys of Marinus. There are certain advantages trying to wipe out all old stories. The villain, Balthazar, intends to kill all life on a planet. And of course, that just happens to be Earth. There is a vague suggestion that the Doctor bears some responsibility, just because he got Balthazar sent to the prison where the plot was hatched. The Doctor is out to trace the location of a semi-mythical ship which can grant a person's heart's desire. Martha is innocently carrying a device that allows Balthazar to follow the TARDIS and help out when a bit of killing would help. There is some anti-war sentiment and menacing oil rigs and an atomic-powered evil parrot for the environmental kids in the audience. I like the twist of the prison governor being an imposter. In the end, the fabled ship is dangerous and useless, only dispensing illusions. The offspring and the robot parrot helps to save the day. Series 13 of Doctor Who is very good.
Ooh.
Chibnall has saved the best until last. The stories are better. John Bishop is good.
He is.
The greatest hits are enjoyable.
Greatest
that is the Daleks, Angels, etc. I've not seen the final episode yet, and I'm going out for the evening, so we'll have to end this here and get recording. The idea of a race of dog-headed creatures, each of which has to look after a particular human, is a role reversal of reality. Bye for now.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. I didn't realise Nicola Bryant was in it. Did I miss that one?
What?
No,
I don't think she is.
Well, you said there was greatest. Anyway, Ben, you have some blurb to dictate.
I do, but I do have to congratulate on the greatest hits of Doctor Who. I thought that was very funny and exactly what me and Mary were trying to get out. not that I wish to speak for my American counterpart, but I'm sure she agrees with me. Even though the countries can't agree on many, many political and economic problems. Talking about that, let's go to Labour councillor Alan T. Fisher. That's what I call a link, my friend.
A segue, I think they call that. Oh, you're not ready
the
then?
The infinite number of 3-minute episodes, or let's keep mentioning the fleshy bipeds. Dear 20 megabiters, The Infinite Quest is, of course, a closely studied cautionary tale of...
Stale?
Cautionary tale. I got 9 words in. A cautionary tale about being wary of the pursuit of the idea of what you desire at the expense of working to a real goal. Are you ready, Adam?
Yep.
It should be noted that whilst... We've only got about 104 episodes to get that good, but we will. should be known, as some say, that dividing quite a long story into 3-minute chunks would be disruptive, a disruptive way to present it. In fact, it also makes it into a frantic mess. We also learn that one of the Krillatine later disguised himself as Balthazar. All in all, The Infinite Quest is a bit all over the place and quite difficult to sustain a close study of. Despite being directed by one of the key prognosers of Big Finish and voiced by excellent actors, and the dialogue, though, leaves a bit to be desired, and it doesn't seem as professional or smooth as you might hope. It is not entirely without merit, and it certainly fulfilled its function in its original broadcast context.
Indeed.
Assembled as continuous narrative, however, it is less successful. This is my favourite one ever. This story is perhaps an infinite number of episodes too short. That deserves a ding. Come on.
Oh.
Thank you very much. you know, I was looking on Amazon as we started talking, doing this evening show, for my own bell for the studio, for my own little studio here. But now you've said that you're leaving in 2 years' time, it barely seems worth buying one. Yeah, I'll send you in
the post. I've got the one that Laurie sent me somewhere, and I think it fell down next to my Dalek in the corner somewhere. So this is my backup bell. But the one, oh no, this is Laurie's bell, the yellow one. But I've got the one I bought from Disneyland Paris, which is the Tower of Terror bell, which is around the corner, which is the original. Well, exactly
anyway,
the same design.
This story is perhaps an infinite. Next, and this is, I mean, the problems in politics today are summed up right here. You've come off the back of something absolutely fantastic, best one ever, funny as you like. We all fell about laughing. And then he goes into recycling stuff, because this is exactly the same as he said last time. Next up, Doctor Who and the Jack in a Box, or the Master of Evaded. I mean, we laughed first time, but this time, Alan. Disappointed in you. But those are the thoughts of Councillor Alan T. Butcher.
Yes!
Right.
Yay!
Right. Right then. So that means we can move on to Doctor Who news. I will be talking about the Wales Comic Con and the weekends that we had away from the show and stuff, because I'll have to talk about it. Don't I, Kirby?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, you were at a convention as well, weren't you, Mary, since we last recorded?
So I was at Chicago TARDIS.
Good, then we can. I'll talk first
about that, Mary.
Hey, I'll talk about my one first, and then I can sit back and listen to your dulcet tones.
Yours is much, much better than mine.
I beg your pardon?
I
my
doubt
fly's
that,
undone. right. Oh, I better talk about what people are saying on the live feed. Ian Kirk says, went to Harvester Restaurant in Leeds. Turkey, roast potatoes, peas, sprouts. Ice cream for dessert. Enjoyed it all very much. I'm getting hungry now. That
would you believe,
my
Adam? My mum and dad went out for lunch today, and my dad had turkey as well. Maybe they were at the same
There's a theme going on there. I was given some turkey-flavoured crisps by bosses at work, and a turkey sandwich. I'm going to be fed up with turkey by the time we get to the 26th of December. Right then. So what we got? Loads of stuff coming through because we haven't done news for a while. So the last bit of news I remember was the death of Bernard Holly. Did we talk about that? Was it Sony 2nd of November? Bit of a ledge and TV actor. He certainly was in Doctor Who. He played the leader of the leader Axon in the Claws of Axos.
I was trying to remember
Holly.
And he's been in others as well.
He's been in others, but that's one he's probably most remembered for. Abominable Snowmen teaser. They've animated the missing episodes of the Abominable.
Someone said they didn't like the look of it, but I haven't seen.
Oh,
the
they've just got a bit
yet.
Lazy with the animations now, haven't they? I don't know why they just don't go.
Why
for
do they bother?
Why do they bother?
No, that's all right. It's something to do with the missing episodes, isn't it? And there's always a market for it.
Would you rather consider it? Consider this. Considering, they've replaced William Hartnell with, what's his name?
David Bradley. Refilm them,
that's
Ben.
Refilm
them with David Bradley, but he's not going to be around for much longer, is he? He's quite old.
But he is now.
Yeah, I agree.
So why not refilm the old episode? You can
but I don't think they're going to have the budget for it.
Well, yeah, of course you would, but no one would care. No. If, Jamie didn't look quite like Jamie, because, obviously Peter Purvis is now...
Yeah, but we've got David Bradley playing the first Doctor, but this is a Troughton story. Who are going to get to play the second Doctor?
Well, find someone... Well, as we've just said, we found someone to play the first Doctor. Find someone to play the second Doctor. Mm. They've done it. They'll have to do it again if they're going to do
Pertwee. He'd be good as a second Doctor.
Well... the way that you can make people look on telly these
That's
days,
true.
You can make them look like robots if you want to, Adam. Yeah. I'm sure they can make someone look a little bit like Patrick Troughton.
I reckon there's a plan. I do like that idea. I also like the idea of bringing back the Eighth Doctor and have some TV episodes with the Eighth Doctor, because he was great in those little snippets during the 50th anniversary stuff that came out.
You know what they should do?
What?
They should take some of the old stories that they haven't animated yet, but put the Doctor in them, because think about
Kirby.
Shada.
I think we need about three or four dings of that bell now, Adam.
That's a good idea. Right then, Village of the Angels Appreciation Index, 79. That's quite good, isn't it? And it said it marks an improvement from the previous week. So it has to be good. That was episode 4. Village of the Angels. That's a great episode, that was. I really enjoyed that. The special effects and stuff, you know, when they were sort of on the edge of the cliff into oblivion, was blimmin' superb. Excellent, gripping story. And when the Doctor changed into an angel, my mum texted me. I said, oh, how's the Doctor going to get out of that? My mum's not the slightest bit interested in Doctor Who. But she texted me, and I haven't seen the episode. I said, I haven't seen it, Mum. What are you saying? Oh, I didn't realise. But... But yeah, it was a really good episode. Then there was the Survivors of the Flux with the voice of, I can't remember that lady that plays Stewart, Kate Stewart. I can't remember her name now. Redgrave, is it?
Redgrave.
Yes. Her voice is incredible. Almost as good as yours, Mary. She's got such a quality to her voice.
I mean, call me vain, but I thought that comment was coming my way.
Let's see if it works. Almost as good as yours, Mary. No, your name's Ben, so that doesn't work. Right then. So, yeah, overnight viewing figures 3.82 million. Village of the Angels went up to 4.55 after downloads, etc., etc. Oop, what was that?
That was my recycling bin being moved really quietly, so no one went
really quietly. Survivors of the Flux, Chapter 5, had a 77 appreciation, which has gone down a smidge. Doctors Do Shakespeare videos are out from the Royal Shakespeare Company and featuring Eccleston and Tennant. Paul McGann and Colin Baker joined Doctor Who Peladon in a Big Finish production. It says Colin Baker, Alex Kingston, Bonnie Langford and Paul McGann to star in January 2022's special Doctor Who audio box set from Big Finish Productions. And then there's a little preview of Vanquishers from Flux, which we watched quite recently. One of my favourite characters, I think, you know, that isn't... I thought Yaz wasn't too bad in this series, to be fair, but my favourite character has got to be the chap who plays... who was in... oh, God, what was that series, episode? Colin Baker's Twin Dilemma. He was in that, wasn't he? He played Lang. And yes. He plays the... Oh, I can't remember the main character's name now. The Professor.
Professor, yeah.
He's great in this.
I liked him in the ones he's been in so far.
Yeah, he's great in all the episodes he's been in. Absolutely love that character. Superb. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. That's the end of Doctor Who news. Okay.
Right, no, it's not. I have some Doctor Who news.
You do? Go on, then.
This is breaking Doctor Who news.
We'll put it back together again.
I see what you did there, boy. Anyway, breaking Doctor Who news, and this is something that some people will know, some people won't know, and this will be something that people who listen to the podcast sometime after it's recorded already have known, because it's then not breaking news, it's common news. The Daleks are to return on New Year's Day.
I mentioned that already.
Oh, jeez.
And also, I have more Doctor Who news.
It's original, though, isn't it? The current, the 13th Doctor has Daleks on a Christmas/New Year's story, isn't it? It's been quite a theme for the last few years. Anyway, Ben, carry on.
Anyway, my last bit of news is another piece of personal news.
Oh.
It's obviously been a long time since I've been doing this podcast, and it takes up a great deal of my time, and so I've decided that like in any sport, if someone's had a team sport, if someone's had an outstanding game, like they've scored a hat trick and they get taken off in the 89th minute so they can have a big round of applause.
What's
before they
hat
leave
trick?
The pitch. You know that kind of thing, Adam.
Never mind what a hat trick is. Good. Carry on.
So
yes.
What I've decided to do is that I've decided to announce my retirement of the podcast 1 week before you, so I can take all the glory leave you just to mop up the last one.
Fair enough. I can live
with
that.
You don't want to be the one to close the door at the end, right?
Yes.
Turn off
lights and close the door.
Lillian,
yeah.
Yes. We'll have this sort of empty studio.
We're coming close to your 11-year anniversary.
Splendid.
On the podcast.
That's in May. Oh,
no,
Ben's.
No,
oh, sorry.
No, Ben's.
No, Ben
his
was on the original.
Line.
Ben was on the original,
yes,
the Hoovy and Anorak podcast.
Was episode 34 in December 20th, 2010.
Yeah, but that was a 20 megabyte podcast. Ben was on the original, so he's been on a podcasting with me since before.
Well, those aren't
before
available,
the 20
so
megabyte.
There.
Me and Alicia and Ben did, although Alicia wasn't there when Ben was on. She'd gone to school or something. I can't remember. Anyway, Lillian Robbins says, this is probably aimed at you, Ben. She says, crash, breaking news.
Oh, right, yes.
While we're on news.
Oh, yes, yes.
Adam, you were going to tell us good news and bad news. We wanted the bad first, which was your imminent retirement. What was the good news?
Did I miss? Well, it's 2 years until... So you've still got
two years
to digest it. There you are. That's the good news.
Oh, wait. With speaking of the second doctor, by the way, with the abominable snowman. Like I said, I've shifted over to Disney Plus from BritBox. And yesterday, I decided to watch the 1950 film Treasure Island. And after I was done with it, I was looking it up on Wikipedia, and one of the pirates is Patrick Troughton.
Ooh.
That's right.
What's his name? Kirby, isn't it? We're talking about Disney Plus. Have you watched Get Back Beatles, or Beatles Get Back, or whatever it's called?
I plan to, but
it's
I've been watching it in segments. Dedication of time to do so.
You need a lot of day. It's about 6-7 hours in total, but yes, I can watch it in little bursts. It's fascinating. No, made out the Beatles are always arguing. All I can say is that they did do a little tiny bicker here and there, but on the whole, they're having a great laugh just jamming in the studio. It was absolutely fascinating to watch. It really is. Anyway, yes. Sorry, did I interrupt somebody talking about news?
I tried to get my wife interested. Because I thought she would be interested in things, Kirby, and she went. I'm not a Beatles fan. I'm a Stones fan.
The Stones get mentioned.
That was an old rivalry back then. Yes.
But they were great friends. Unlike the Who and the Stones, apparently.
Beatles
or
the Stones. It was Take That or E17.
Yeah, or Boyzone.
No, Boyzone would never be there with E17.
Sorry, Mary, did you complete your bit of news?
You were asking me about mine, weren't you?
Sorry,
I was trying to pick up on the fact that you had good and bad, and I remember the bad, but I didn't remember you saying what the good was.
That was
the good bit when he was leaving.
Anyway, right then. I'm now going to talk about.
It wasn't for 2 years.
So, obviously, this week, the week previous, when we haven't been recording, was Deb's 50th birthday. That's
happy
my Deb.
Birthday, Deb.
And I can tell you now, she gets really wound up when Andy Nunney calls her Alpha Debbie. But anyway, yes, so it was her 50th birthday last Wednesday, so we've had a whole week of celebratorins. What?
She's so young.
Anyway, so it began the weekend before last, before her birthday, when we went to Watford, where the Warner Brothers studios are, and specifically the Harry Potter studio tour. And we've been on a few times, but every time you go, it expands, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when we went in, they said the tour is about 3 hours. I thought, yeah, right, it was. And we went at a fairly normal pace, but 3 hours of total engagement with what you're looking at, and there's also the queuing's not too bad. When we had a little video of us, which we've always wanted to do but never really done in the past, of us riding brooms and stuff. So I've got those videos on USB stick. I must probably publish them at some point, but I don't want to take out the Harry Potter theme bits, and how there's a little documentary on each one, the same documentary on how they did the green screen stuff. But it's great. So you walk in, you've got some things are the same, like the big hall and the sort of area where you've got all the little made-up studios. And you walk out into the little patio area where you have to go through the Forbidden Forest, which is a new bit.
Oh, cool.
It's good. And the animatronic stuff's really good as well. Into the area where the night bus is but they've actually, they're rebuilding the Privet Lane set. So they've put this great big board up with a painting of it, like a mural of the of Privet Lane. So when I did my TikTok there, I made sure the background is out of focus so you wouldn't notice.
You should get some sort of like qualification from, I don't know, some sort of photo school.
Anyway, then it was into the station where the Hogwarts train is. That's been done up a little bit more. You can go on the train, look in the carriages. There's also a little a sort of video set where you can sit on it and have special effects going off by the window and stuff. What else? And then there's the area where they show all the little special effects and, you know, the models, the stuff we use in the movies and how they did it and all sorts of stuff. I'm sure I've forgotten some stuff, but it's yeah, and then I went to have a cup of tea at the end of it. It cost me £3.50, but yeah, so
I can't believe it costs so much for a cup of coffee these days.
I know. Cup of tea.
That's a lot for a cup of tea.
No, but we got there at 11, I think, and left there at 2 and then went off on our way to Telford.
How would you describe the experience for someone who didn't know anything about Harry Potter?
Well, it wouldn't be worth going if you didn't know anything about Harry Potter, to be fair.
Yeah. Because my daughter wants to go. Oh, well, she's not a daughter anymore. She's a they. And they like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And so they want to go, but yeah. I've never seen a book or a film. Well, I have seen books or films.
You might find some of the behind the scenes aspects interesting. There is a as you land in the car park, when you look yonder past the
not
main
flying, sort of, I'll be driving
the main area, the Harry Potter part, there's an active film set going on, so you can see the backs of what is houses, and the theory was that was the film set for one of the Fantastic Beasts movies that's currently being made. But
how many sorting hats out of 10 would you give it?
It's 10 out of 10 as if you're a Harry Potter fan. It's a 10 out of 10.
Is that a thing? I say a thing?
Yes, you did. And may I make a suggestion?
What?
Yeah.
Try watching the movies.
Nah.
No, I'm going to say, I think if I wasn't a Harry Potter fan, I would still enjoy it. But Harry Potter fans, you'd be proper in your element. You can't not go to the studio tour. It's amazing. Anyway, so after
what, I'll put them on the same. I'll put watching the Harry Potter films on the same list as watching animated Doctor Who episodes.
So anyway, after that we made a we went straight from Watford to Telford. Found a lovely hotel, Premier Inn.
Was that along the A47?
I don't know, but the hotel was in Newport. We went to the Beefeater to try and get, which is next door to it, try and get some dinner. Deb's allergic to pig meat, citrus, anything like that. And so when we went in there, and she was going to order some
pig meat, citrus,
steak.
Are two very different. I know,
but it's various things she's allergic to. Anyway, she asked if she had a steak, if it's possibly cooked on a different griddle than the pork, and it wasn't, so she couldn't have it. So we had to leave because there was nothing, because they'd run out of chicken for one reason or another. There was nothing she could eat, so we had to go to McDonald's and order something from there, which is quite nearby. So there we settled in for the evening on that Friday, and then made very early the next day, made our way, because we had priority tickets, so we went down the priority queue and actually got in quite early, slightly appalled by the amount of people who weren't wearing face coverings in a very tight sort of area, even if it wasn't mandatory. We were thinking, I think I would probably protect myself a little bit by wearing a face mask, but nobody did. Me, apart from me and Deb, we looked like the right bunch of idiots all wearing our masks where everybody else is. Anyways, we got in, the hall's open. Pardon?
You looked very sensible.
We were in the minority. So basically the whole of Saturday, the whole of Saturday was taken up essentially. So we went straight into our first photo op with Mr. Bon Jarraman. Now you may have seen a video.
Master?
I did post it
on...
What?
Master?
What?
Master?
What?
Master? I have an objection when you post pictures.
Post pictures?
You post pictures with you posing with people, and I haven't the foggiest notion who they are.
Oh, well. One of them is Deb, the other one's Isabella.
Sure.
Second did Kirby.
What did Mary say?
I said it's hard to appreciate the picture because I have no clues to who you're posing with.
Exactly. Oh, well.
Never mind. I don't know which ones you're on about. Anyway, so let me speak.
Most of them.
Most of them.
Well, did I post them on the 20 megawatt page then? Did I post them on 20 megawatt page or on my own? I can't remember.
On your own page.
On my own page. Okay, so if I can find that post.
I appreciate the pictures, but I would like to know who they are.
All right, well, I'll try and talk you through them then. Now, obviously, the listeners won't be the slightest bit interested in this.
Let me get there.
All right, let me get there.
Right, the first one, Kirby, is Coventry City Striker.
I'm not there.
Oh, dear.
I had closed Facebook.
Had you? Oh, dear. Right. Oh, God. I can't find the... Oh, here it is. Hang on.
Right, Adam then. Pearson.
Right. Right. I was trying to tell the story. I've got to take my jumper off now.
Yes.
Am I there now? Can I start the story? So we made a beeline for the first photo op, which was John Barrowman. And I did post a video.
Him I recognize.
Oh, jeez. Pardon?
I recognize him.
Right, can I speak? Well, anyway, so we go in there, and we're at the front of the queue, which is great, knowing how much queue we've got to do for the rest of the day. And I posted a video on TikTok of John's reaction to this great big crowd there to see him. And he posted it, his angle, on his own page on Facebook. And you can see us in the background going, woo! And my video is the full version of him having a dig at the British press and the BBC for the way he's been treated. So
that's
on my TikTok account. What?
I saw your video. I didn't see his.
His is on. So if you go to the Don Barrowman MBE Facebook page, he posted it on there. It might even be on his Instagram account. But yeah, very nice chat. Went in there and I said, oh, thanks for coming, JB. He said, oh, no, thank you for having me. It was really, because I imagine he'd probably been quite nervous about going in there and stuff. But yeah, he was great. Next picture you see, I think, is it that with Danny
I'm
John? Not, Danny
I'm trying
John
to
Jules?
Find the pictures. Hang on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You've got a photo up with Jesus Christ. What?
Danny John Jules. Is that the next one? Chap with the cap and green glasses?
I don't know.
I've just flicked to the next picture after John Barrowman.
I can't find the John Barrowman yet. What day was that?
Oh, good grief. Oh right.
We're going to be all day.
21st of November.
Okay, now I'm getting there.
Right. Pictures says Saturday photo ops of Wales Comic Con, which I took with my phone.
There we go. The pictures. Okay.
Got them?
I found them.
Right.
There's John
so if
Barrowman.
You open up the picture with John Barrowman.
Yes.
Notice he's giving me a big hug and trying to throttle Deb, which is quite interesting. Danny John Jules. He's got a black hat and green glasses.
That's
got that
the
one?
Cat?
What? Black hat.
Who is he?
He played the cat. You probably haven't heard. You don't.
He's
America
the cat
don't get
in Red Dwarf.
I just said the cat, and you said what?
I thought you did.
I thought you said I said black cat, and you went hat. So it sounded like you said hat. Yes,
no,
he played
I
the cat in Red
cat.
Dwarf,
and
Dwayne
he was also
in
Death in Paradise. Death in Paradise three series.
And the next one is a woman called Michelle Collins. She was in new Americans don't know anything about British soaps, but she was in EastEnders as Ian Beale's wife, and Coronation Street as somebody that worked in
the Rovers.
Yeah,
the owner, the Rover's Return. Yeah,
and she was in a Doctor Who episode called 42.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Next one is
she was less sweaty when she met Adam.
That was right. Yeah, these are in order they were taken. Around, the next picture is of that bloke from the Full Monty. Whose name escapes me, but he was in a film, American film called Jack Frost, with Michael Keaton. But you have to have seen that to know that he's been in a few, he's been in lots of stuff. Can't remember his
name.
Yes, no
name. And it would have been nice if you'd put his name on the picture
because I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Okay.
And that chap is Will Meller, who has been in lots of British productions. He will be a Doctor at some point because he's been in everything in this country. Best known for being Two Pints of Lug and A Pack of the Crisps, Hollyoaks. He's just been a very, very naughty boy in Coronation Street. And that's why when Deb had a picture with him, he's making out that he's going to throttle her because he was played a killer in Coronation Street very recently. The next one is Joseph Marcel, who is another series Americans won't know. It's called The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, with another actor that Americans won't have heard of called Will Smith. He played the butler in that particular
yes,
series.
Yes, I know who he is.
And
how come
he was also
the only
in a Doctor
Who
story.
A,
hang on, he was also in a Doctor
screen.
Who story called Remembrance of the Daleks. Yes?
How come he's the only person with a screen between himself and the rest of you guys?
Because he was a bit nervous. The next one is a chap called Peter Moffat.
Yes.
You probably haven't heard of him.
He's someone that I've met. Amazing.
And next one is with a chap called Devon Murray, who played Seamus in all of the Harry Potter films. The little Irish chap. He hasn't grown much since he was in the door. He was actually shorter than Deb, so he is a little bit on the short side.
And then the Samwise I recognize.
Next one is Sean Astin. Obviously, that picture of Isabella is because, obviously, he was in Stranger Things, and Isabella's a massive fan of Stranger Things.
Oh, I didn't know he was in Stranger Things.
For me, he's in two of my favourite films, Click and 50 First Dates. And then it's the very distant Billy Piper, who is actually on the cover of GQ magazine this week. Yes, I was really stood next to her. I wouldn't have bought the picture otherwise. But yeah, that's how she posed in most of the pictures. So either slightly turned to the left or slightly turned to the right, and with a bit of a smoulder to the camera. She did smudge her lipstick a little bit on that. But she was quite nice. I walked in and said, hello. She said, hi. But then she bumped into Isabella the next day. When Isabella finally got an autograph with Sean Astin, it took 2.5 hours. She sort of stepped away from the queue, and Billy Piper just basically walked straight into her. And so she got, bearing in mind how distant she was for these pictures, she got a hug from Isabella got a hug from Billy Piper, which sort of made her day doubly. Next chap is called Mark Williams. Mark Williams played a character called Arthur Weasley in Harry Potter films, I think.
And he was also in Red Dwarf in one of the very first episodes.
He was Arthur Weasley in all but one. He wasn't in the first one. And that's it for those pictures. There are more.
He looks much older than he was last time we saw him.
Well, sorry about that. I'm sure that you can't help it. There are also pictures on my timeline of the pictures we took at Harry Potter as well. So the whole of Saturday was quite stressful queuing. So we're queuing for loads and loads of photo opportunities, some of which I've obviously published. And there's also the I wanted to get my Funko Pop of Captain Jack Harkness signed by JB himself. That took a bit of time because, do you know what happened while we were queuing? It's very rude. Massive queue. Took about 3/4 of an hour to get from the end to actually the John bit. I was nearly there. And he was signing away, he was doing some lovely interactions with people. And then this bloke rocks up and he spends 15 minutes talking to him.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's queuing. So I used to like Sylvester McCoy until that point. So, yeah. So Sylvester McCoy thought it was a great time to go and have a chat with John Barrowman while he's working rather than backstage in the green room. Anyway, I wasn't very happy about that. Mm-hmm. So that was basically the whole day. The trouble with it, everybody's getting frustrated because the organisation was so bad that all the ops were falling behind. The event was supposed to finish at 6. We were still there at 7:30, queuing for the last
photo.
So yeah, it wasn't very good. And then eventually we got home. Obviously, it was all a bit stressful, but when we'd finished it, we realised we actually really thoroughly enjoyed the day. But it was at the time, we were just worried. We were trying to jump from one studio to the next because all these ops were overlapping. But the crew there were great. And they made sure that we got the pictures we wanted. The next day, the girls were so traumatised by the whole thing, they decided to go to Primark in Telford. Well, I walked straight in or past this humongous queue because I had the priority tag and everything. So I walked straight in. I was able to buy my Sonic screwdriver. And the only photo op I had that day was with the four doctors.
I saw that one. I also see the picture, the video that JB took where you guys are in the background.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? But also I met Devin. I had a chat with him, had a chat with Colin briefly, who vaguely remembered Fantasy Con. But I'll tell you what, when I did the shoot with the doctors at the end, I had, after having spoken to Colin probably about 3 or 4 hours previous, I walked in for my thing and posed for him. And as I walked out, Colin Baker says to Sylvester McCoy, he's a massive Doctor Who fan. And I thought, it's a bit personal. I thought my T-shirt was baggy. But I thought it was very nice of him to say. They obviously did sort of recognise something of me, probably my rather large bulk, I don't know. But yeah, I met John Rhys-Davies. He was a lovely chap, apart from he thought that he needed to tickle everybody to get them to smile for the photos, which could be regarded as slightly, what's the word for it, inappropriate. But yeah, I did tell him as he was tickling my midriff, so you don't have to do that, I'm smiling. But yeah, he was quite a nice chap.
Did you post a picture with him yet?
No, I haven't. That's on my phone. I meant
to. Yeah, something I was telling Fred the other day as we were watching one of the Lord of the Rings movies was, of all of the actors who were in the Fellowship, he was the tallest.
What, John Rhys-Davies?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay. But yeah, he's a lovely chap, really nice.
Of course, they shrunk him.
When we went in, before we went to the John Barrowman shoot, we sort of walked into the big hall, and he was going around all the vendors saying, have a good day, have a good day. Well, I thought it was quite a nice touch, that. So what happened? Oh, yeah. So at one point, we started to get a bit tired, so we decided I pull the girls upstairs. So, right, let's go and sit down in the theatre. We've never watched a talk or a panel at one of these events anyway. So we went in there and they were doing the Stargate panel. Not the slightest bit interested in Stargate, but the actual panel was quite fun, quite good fun, quite a good laugh. And then they said the Torchwood one was next. So we moved a bit further to the front. And they had the Japanese lady, Gareth David Lloyd and Kai. That's the other chap I met on the Sunday, Kai Owen. And of course, John Barrowman. And John was on proper form. He was going around interviewing people in the audience when they were asking questions and stuff like that, riding around on somebody's mobility scooter and nicking a baby off someone. So that's on my TikTok page as well. But he was on great form. And his husband, Scott, was, I think, he was there and they even had photo shoots with him and his husband. I think Scott was thinking this could either go one way or another, this event, in regards to how popular Barrowman was going to be, because after it finished, Barrowman was on Lorraine. He's now announced a new tour in the UK. So I think it all hinged a little bit on how, you know, he was, the reaction was going to be with him. So that was good. So yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic weekend. Deb says we can't do another one because we can't afford it. And then midweek we had a meal. Alicia, her husband works in a pub in Castle, and they set up a meal up there for Deb's birthday, and the whole family was there for that. It was really nice. And then this weekend, just gone, we went to London on a coach trip. Went around Windsor Castle, Tower of London, had a walk around London, and we had the next day was a coach
trip. Did you ever find Master? Did you ever find that Fez and Mop in Windsor?
Stop being silly. But that was a really good fun trip.
That's my job.
The hotel was amazing. It was beautiful. And the frustrating thing was, as we left, the coach driver said, oh, did you see David Hay? Apparently David Hay's got his own room at the hotel, a permanent room there, and his car was parked outside. But I was admiring his car, but I didn't realise it was David Hay's car. And then there was the bus driver was talking about David Hay, and this woman's ex-secretary said, who's David Hay? and they said, oh, yeah, he's a former world heavyweight champion. Oh, I don't like boxing. But yeah, so that was it. That's my weekend at Wales Comic Con. I'm sure I've forgotten something, but quite eager to hear what Mary has to say.
Well, you can tamp down your eagerness. the Chicago TARDIS, which over the years, I mean, it's the second biggest convention, Doctor Who convention in the States, the biggest one being Gallifrey, which is on the West Coast. And they've always had really good guests, and they've always had a lot of events. And it's a very busy, constant, nonstop 4 days. But this year, we didn't even meet last year because of the COVID problems. So they did an online thing, which I think they did really well at. You could attend panels online. But because there was no new money coming in for memberships, and people were pretty much staying away because, you know, fear of being in crowds, or, you know, just the COVID thing was still kind of hanging over it all. Because in Chicago, people are very fearful, I think. Anyway, so it was very sparsely attended. And the guest list is not one that would have drawn a bunch of people. The best guests were Colin Baker and Fraser Hines. And I think this may be Colin's last time doing an overseas convention,
right,
because he just seemed so frail. He was as sweet as could be, but just, but forgetful and having a real hard time hearing questions that people were putting to him. Whoever the person was interviewing him on the panels, you know, had pretty much repeat every question to him. And he was very apologetic, you know, to all of us, because he says, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I really can't hear that well. There were just so many things about, you know, watching him that it just broke your heart. Yeah. You know, he's like one of my most favorite doctors.
Yeah, he's a lovely man.
Lovely man, great doctor. And he still does a lot of Big Finish.
He was in Everdale a few months ago, very, very briefly.
Yeah. Well, and then Fraser Hines, he always comes. He loves coming to Chicago TARDIS, and he was a lot of fun. You know, we'd run into him all the time, you know, and you know, have conversations with him and that. Pretty much all the rest of the guests were kind of Big Finish people, were, you know, voice actors for Big Finish. So they weren't anyone like to draw a big crowd. And the panels with them, you know, were getting kind of dull because there wasn't a whole lot to ask them. You know, by the third panel, it's like, okay, you know, does anybody have any questions? And we're like, no. And then a lot of the events that they usually have, quite often the guests will put on a performance on Friday nights. That's always kind of a feature. That's where I heard Toby Haydock do, you know, his one-man shows and all that.
I take it he wasn't there this year.
No,
he's busy doing Coronation Street.
He's a busy guy now. But, you know, so there were no real big special events. It was, like I said, a very low-key affair. So I spent most of the time just spending, you know, good times with friends that I meet up there every year because they come from all over. They come from New York and California and Michigan, you know, to come here. And that's the only time other than social media, you know, when I get to see them face to face. So we had our good times. And we were all wondering, you know, is there going to be a Chicago TARDIS next year? But they're, you know, they're selling tickets for next year. And I think that they're kind of banking on the fact that people are going to return in bigger numbers next year.
So it's going to be a gradual thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously, in this country, people weren't as afraid as they were elsewhere. That's what we were getting from some of the American visitors, especially James Masters, who did some of his photo shoots on the Saturday wearing a face mask. And the people in the shoots had face masks on as well. That's not what I pay my money for a photo op.
Yeah.
Because it might not be you in the picture if it's a face mask. I don't know. Carry on.
Well, Omicron spread in this country from an anime convention.
All right.
I'd say the two things I take away from this convention. One was a panel that I attended that Matthew Kressel was the moderator on.
All right.
And it was about historicals versus pseudo-historicals. And you know how I sit here and complain that, you know, when our Doctor Who characters go into these historical settings, how, you know, out of place they seem and nobody remarks on it and, you know, things should be done a certain way. Well, I think I've been schooled because the way Matthew and the other person on the panel were defining it is that a real historical is one in which they really do melt into the society, like the Aztecs, whereas the pseudo-historicals, however accurate everything else may be, as soon as you have a monster, it's a pseudo. So even ones that I've complained about, you know, that are, well, like, what is it, Family of Blood and all that, you know, I want to see things be more accurate. Well, I mean, you got a monster going on in that. So, okay, so I'm backing off totally on this, you know, everybody has to fit in to wherever they go. Because, you know, it all goes sideways anyway. So I'm going to get off that horse. What was the other thing they had a panel on, Doctor Who clubs of the 1970s and 80s. It was really interesting to hear them talk about, the different clubs that they all belonged to and that. And were asking about the conventions in the past with Chicago. Yeah. I even asked them, I said, you know, did any of you go to WindyCon?
I got a lot of that.
Yeah, we remember that, you know. So they're going to devote a panel next year to the conventions of the 1970s and 80s and all that.
So that means I have to go, right?
You've got to go, yeah.
You gotta go.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, however we can work it out, you know, you gotta go.
We can.
I formed a club in 1979.
What was the name of your club?
It was called I was going to Northern Illinois University, and our club was UNIT, the United Northern Illinois Time Lords.
Oh, okay. Well, they didn't mention that. They mentioned the Guardians and the Companions of Doctor Who. I heard all these different names of the ones that the guys had belonged to, but you know, that one didn't come up. So yeah, you got to go next year. Okay, so that was my experience. Very low key, not more fun meeting up with friends than, you know, anything going on in the convention itself.
All right, thank you, Mary. That was great stuff. I'm pleased that you got a chance to do a convention because obviously it's it's something that's very special at the moment for people. I mean, yeah. I know that London Comic Con had an amazing guest list with Christopher Eccleston and who else was that there? George Takei, amongst others. It was a great guest list there, but I think I got lucky, managed to get a photo with four doctors.
Yeah, you got to see a lot of people.
I think both did really well. Liverpool had a good cast list as well, so they're trying really hard in this country to get good conventions going. Now, I have posted on 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast group, which you can join, some pictures that Kirby was moaning that I hadn't already posted on there. So I have sent a picture that Peter Davison signed. I did pay for this picture, by the way, which is dedicated to all of us and all of our list stunners. I hope it's gone up there, because I did send it on my phone. Should be on there. Oh, it's on my phone. I can see it. I can't see it on the computer. But sorry about the strange lighting. I've just taken a picture of it with my iPhone, and there's a shadow being cast across it. But you can see the message that Peter wrote. So to Adam and the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Peter Moffat. I can't see what the other bit is. Oh, it's Davison. Sorry. but yeah, and also the pictures that are with me with Kai Owen and with John Rhys Davies, where he's tickling me.
Star Trek shirt, instead of a 20 Megabyte shirt.
What about what's wrong with that? Am I not allowed to wear a Star Trek shirt or what? I love that Star Trek shirt. It's beautifully embroidered with the motif, and I'm very serious about getting a blue version and a red version, all available in the shop down in Cowes. Cowes
Moo.
Market. Oh, is that supposed to be far?
I'm sure you've heard that before.
No, I don't think so. yeah, so John Rhys-Davies. So you can actually see the price of his photographs and autographs on the wall next to it. Rhys. Interesting that there's Rhys in both names, which makes me think, whatever happened to Rhys Parton?
Yeah.
Right, so that's it then. Next time, we will be returning to the journey and talking a little bit about the finale of maybe all of slightly the series of Doctor Who that's just been on. The next episode, if I remember rightly, is... Oh, it's the one with Saxon in it, isn't
Utopia.
Oh. Utopia. That's it. That's cracking episode, that one. And the return, rather topically, of John Barrowman to Doctor Who. And this is the picture, anybody's watching the live feed, this is the picture of old Fivey, my favourite Doctor, which I will get framed and put on the wall. Because I don't normally like autographs, but I thought that was nice. I nice little touch there. So yeah, it's dedicated to all of you lot, but I get to keep the picture. But next week I will be filming, so I can't do a podcast. Apologies.
I will post a no feedback request.
This filming job was booked a long, long time ago, and then the following week on the 19th of December we're back in studio for Utopia.
Front and sides too.
Which essentially is a 3-part story.
But we're doing it in 2 parts.
No, it can't be, because we've got to have the fishy story in between there, haven't we? And we've got Doctor's Daughter as well. Or is that part of the Catherine Tate season? I do get confused.
That's the Catherine Tate.
Okay, so it's we've still got the fishy story, haven't we?
No.
What?
We've got...
Oh, that's Catherine Tate too, isn't it?
We just have the 3-part master story, but we traditionally, at least 9 years ago, we did it as Utopia separate, and then the 2-part season.
Well, that's how we're doing it this time, Kirby.
Okay, right.
So that'll be on the 19th, Utopia on the 19th. Then we won't be recording on Boxing Day because it's Christmas. Aiming to record
is it Christmas in America as well? Do they have Christmas?
No, they don't have Christmas over there.
Sometimes.
No. Sometimes, yeah.
And then on the 2nd of January.
Anything new on the feed?
Essentially, the 2nd of January or the 19th of December are Christmas episodes. I'm probably going to say the 2nd of January because the Doctor Who New Year special would have been broadcast by then, and I intend to have a little bit of a natter about that as well. And that's it. Then we're back to
normal. Well, are we recording on the 2nd or not?
After that.
We're recording on the 2nd.
Okay. Gotcha.
Sorry, Ben, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, but if we don't record again until like January, that means it's only 2 years till you leave after that.
It's less than 2 years. Once we hit the second, it's starting on the big wind down to
Jesus. It's like a status quo farewell tour.
Yeah, I just hope that I don't, you know, top it, you know, fall dead like poor old Rick Parfitt did on the.
Exactly. I think that was that.
And I did get one of my photos of Rick Parfitt was one of the very last of him taken alive, actually, at the Isle of Wight Festival that same year. Okay, so that is essentially
anything on
it.
The feed?
Are you what? Saying you killed him?
What, with a photo? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You saying when I shot him? No, I think he died of. He had a very bad heart, didn't he? I think he died of a heart attack. I'm not going to.
He did. I didn't say that. I said you killed him. I didn't. I wasn't making any reference. To that's you brought that in. I mean, that's sick.
Whatever. All right. Anybody saying anything on the live feed? Oh, Lillian Robbins says, "Have you seen my Star Trek uniform?" No, I haven't, Lillian. I wouldn't mind seeing your Star Trek uniform.
Adam, you're such a dirty old dirty.
He's really egging her on.
What?
He wouldn't be saying that if Debbie was in the room, I'll tell you that much.
No, yeah. Lillian, I'm sure it's going to be something out of this world. Yeah, I thought it was quite good.
Right, you're not allowed to dig yourself for crap. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Lillian's Star Trek uniform.
I bet you are.
I am. Yes.
Yeah, it would be lovely to see her in her Star Trek uniform, would it, eh? It's been a long while.
It's
been a year.
Watching what is currently an appalling series of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, the thing that really made me chuckle.
It is so easy, isn't it?
The thing that did make me chuckle is when Ant and Dec were talking about naked rats, and one of them went, whoa.
they are the best thing about it, as usual.
They are indeed, yes. They are what make it watchable, yes.
I can't remember if I mentioned, but a couple of weeks ago I went to see a tribute act to Morecambe and Wise.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in the Mayflower a few years ago. They were really good. They should have got Ant and Dec together.
Who are they?
They're called, it's Jonty Stevens and Ian Aspinall, or the other way around. They were the four names in some sort of order.
Yeah.
But they are Morecambe and Wise reincarnated. They are absolutely fantastic.
Well, I don't know who that is. Love.
Don't worry about it, Kirby. This is the British section of the show.
Kirby,
I'm an Anglophile. Come on.
Well, you're actually not enough of an Anglophile. Sorry, I'm just searching Lillian Robin on Facebook. Lillian.
Carry
on.
When I'm talking to someone, if I'm looking forward, I'm talking to Adam. But when I'm talking to Kirby or Mary, I look to the right.
Okay.
That's so stupid. Anyway, Kirby, they are two, well, the quintessential almost British comedians, double acts from the 70s to 80s. They are just hilarious. Whether you get the comedy or not, you probably will, because you're quite.
I probably will.
Yeah, but check out Morecambe and Wise, Eric Morecambe, Ernie Wise. They are my favourite all-time comedians.
They are the
just
best.
Absolutely.
They are the best.
Super.
Eric Morecambe was a genius.
Oh, just amazing.
Ernie Wise, obviously, it was great as well, and was underrated, but.
He wasn't Aaron underrated Morecambe. At all.
He wasn't
he was
underrated.
As funny. No, he wasn't.
He was
everyone knew
funny.
They were a double act. They were each other's other bits. Otherwise, it wouldn't have worked. They were brilliant. Anyway, yes.
Eric Morecambe turned scripted comedy into his own thing and just ad-libbed it into genius, funny stuff. Brilliant.
He won't sell many ice creams going at that speed.
No. I just love the bits we know when they do the song at the end of the show.
That's one of his most famous quotes.
Sorry. I'm just saying that when they used to do the song at the end of the show and Ernie conned him into thinking they'd finished, and so Ernie starts singing the song, and in the background you see Eric with his hat and coat, and he's walking off the back of the stage, off the stage. Yeah, well, I love it. I'm just trying to fill, because Lillian's just told me to look for... Oh, she's done me... I was scrolling down to September the 8th where this picture of her in the Star Trek uniform is. Bated breath. It's very tantalising.
Really?
Very. Oh, I'm nearly there. 10th of September.
Oh, my God. What are we doing?
I'm looking for Lily.
If
you
just
goodness.
Tuned in at this point and heard you scrolling down saying you're looking at Lily.
Oh, she's
saying,
it's on
oh,
TikTok.
I'm nearly there.
Oh, yes, Lily. It's great. Lily, actually, it's very good. It's very 1960s Star Trek. And it was worth waiting for. Thank you, Lillian. She's great. Okay.
You could edit that to be really, really good,
okay,
mate.
Whatever that
now,
was
I was trying
about.
To finish the show, but I really was quite keen to look at her Star Trek uniform. Right then. So that's it then for a couple of weeks. So thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so until the next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fans and fans.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.